In the Hollywood of the 1940s and 50s, the Sunset Strip was considered the center of nightlife for the motion picture community. The most celebrated night spot on that strip was Ciro's. The club and the people who were seen there went there to be seen by columnists, tourists, and other rubberneckers. The nightclub owner's niece, forgive me, Sheila Weller, has written a memoir about growing up there. The book is called Dancing at Ciro's. Iris Mann caught up with the author and some others with connections to Ciro's and sends us this report.
As Dancing at Ciro's opens, Sheila Weller is living a charmed life in Beverly Hills. Her father is a successful neurosurgeon and her mother a well-known fan magazine writer whose brother owns the world-famous nightclub. Weller says it was a glamorous and dangerous place to be.
They would really drink a lot. They would really start and end love affairs. They would really sort of throw glasses of champagne at each other. They would storm out. One of the big men about town was Greg Boutzer, the mob lawyer, and all the women loved him. And he was with one of his many affairs with Lana Turner, and Joan Crawford came in with like five different men to try to get his attention. And, you know, he wouldn't budge. Peggy Lee had a crush on him. Somebody else was running into the ladies room crying her eyes out over him. I mean, it was a very sort of raw emotion and sensuality.
Weller remembers her mother taking her to Ciro's after school. While her uncle, Herman Hoover, and her mother talked business, she would do her homework, hang out with the bartender, and watch the club slowly come alive as the staff prepared for an evening.
Then my uncle would come in and he would confer with the maitre d' bouncer, Johnny Aldrate, over, you know, how are we going to put Cary Grant there so he doesn't get into a fight with Peter Lawford there? And, you know, we can't let Howard Hughes send a million flowers to Liz Taylor because Liz Taylor's going to be across the street watching Vic Damone, who she has a crush on at the Macombo, and Howard Hughes will be stood up. And how are we going to keep it so Frank Sinatra doesn't get into one more fist fight because there's a three-strike rule. If you get into three fist fights, you can't come back.
Her uncle made an exception for Sinatra. Careers were launched at Ciro's. George Schlatter booked the entertainment for the club. He remembers Academy Awards night in 1952 when a little-known act called the Will Mastin Trio was set to open for the headliner. The trio's youngest member was Sammy Davis Jr.
This was his moment, and he proceeded to do a phenomenal performance that no one had ever seen anything like it before. He opened tap dancing, and then he did some impressions, and then he sang straight, and then he played every instrument in the band, and then he sang, almost sang opera, then he did more dancing. And it went on, and every time he did something else, it was another level of performance that we had never seen. And that audience just went nuts, and they wouldn't let him off. Not that Sammy intended to leave, but instead of 15 minutes, I think he did about an hour 10.
All right, simmer down. After all, this is a nightclub, you know, and we're about to put on a floor show for you nice folks. And what a crazy crowd. What would you kids like to hear tonight? Jacques the Rock? All right, I think that can be arranged, but you'll have to help me out. I'll tell you where to come in, okay? And Dad and Will, let's get together and tell the folks about Jacques Dirac. There's a guy named Jack from a country called Iraq. Now his real name is Jacques, and Iraq is Iraq, so they call him Jacques Dirac.
Another opening at the club caused a different kind of sensation. Schlatter, who went on to produce such TV hits as Laugh-In, says a performer named Lily St. Cyr had an unusual take on the striptease.
She started out naked and then put on her clothes during the act. And there was some question with the LAPD about whether or not that was proper. I think they used the word lewd, but I don't think so. It was very classy. And so we hired a lawyer, and he brought the jury out to Ciro's to watch the act. and she was found not guilty by a bunch of very horny jurists and one judge that wanted to see it again.
Judges, politicians, and celebrities of all sorts went to Ciro's. Mobster Mickey Cohen was shot outside the club. The Shah of Iran went there in the late 1940s. Former cigarette girl Reggie Drew caught his eye.
He kind of pointed me out and another girl, another cigarette girl that was there, and said he'd like to meet us. They had Secret Service men that drove us to the Ambassador Hotel. And then they interviewed us, or interrogated us, whatever they did, downstairs. And they said there's $100 in it for each of you. So I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not a call girl. So they said, well, you're here anyway, so you may as well meet him. So we went up and we met him, and he had a lot of people in the room and a lot of flowers, and he was very nice, very cordial. And this other girl wound up staying, and the prince, his brother, drove me home. And we stopped at a drive, and he drove me home, kissed me goodnight. So that's what happened. The next night, Hover said, well, this girl had gotten money and jewelry, and he said, what did you get? And I said, I didn't get anything.
It was a looser, freer time, especially when it came to business, says George Schlatter. He recalls the evening when Jerry Lewis was too sick to go on for his opening night with Dean Martin. Schlatter and his boss scoured the best restaurants in town and got Tony Martin and Alan King to fill in for the team. Schlatter says back then you could do that. Business was more personal.
Now there are layers of people you go through to get to the stars. We had their home numbers. We'd call. They'd come in. So it was much more like a family than it is now. It's just gotten so huge. Hollywood today means the business of Hollywood, means the business of show business. At that point, Hollywood was a community. People did congregate.
The nightlife on the Sunset Strip began to fade in the late 1950s. Ciro's was on its last legs when Sheila Weller's family went through a scandal that rivaled the lurid tales of the Hollywood stars. One evening, Weller's father, who was no longer living at home, brought his two daughters back from dinner when a man suddenly attacked him.
Then my father yells to my sister, Lizzie, I have a gun in the glove compartment. Get the gun for me. And she opened the glove compartment. He dragged himself up. By then, I think he'd had a heart attack, and he pulled the gun out. And he held it at the person who was assaulting him. And then they went at it again and again. And it turns out that the man that they arrested was my uncle. My uncle had this very beautiful, kind of like actress, showgirl, kind of hanger-on or kind of beautiful young woman in the nightclub who he married, who was my aunt. So it turns out that the reason that my uncle was trying to kill my father was that my father and my aunt were having a full-blown affair at Sarah's, the way other people had full-blown affairs, and they were sort of doing it right under his nose, and really had fallen in love with one another. And this was the 50s when people fell in love. They divorced their mates and they married each other. That's what happened.
That was the end of Weller's idyllic lifestyle. Her family came apart, and her uncle, who was having problems with the IRS, had to close Ciro's. Weller says he spent the next 30 years living on Social Security and reliving the past. He's dead now, as are her mother and father, and most of a generation that created its own world around places like Ciro's.
That was a generation that really changed who they were. I mean, words like moxie, gumption, brio, those were sort of those great jaunty 30s, 40s words, 20s, 30s, 40s words. They turned themselves into other people, and when they moved from the East, which sort of incorporated the culture of Europe with it, the old world, to the West, they really invented themselves. I mean, I think there was a danger there. They kind of, my little tagline is, if you live your life in a Hollywood nightclub, life is bound to follow the skein of the melodrama. They got in over their heads. They were around glamour, so they thought they were glamorous. And to be glamorous, you have to have a wilder soul than a lot of these bourgeois people ended up, you know, had.
The glamorous nightclubs have disappeared from the Sunset Strip. The building which once housed Ciro's is now the home of the Comedy Store. More than one visitor and employee has reported seeing ghosts of some of the famous and infamous people who used to frequent Ciro's. For NPR News, this is Iris Mann in Los Angeles.